Pray with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me to the place everlasting. Speak now. Speak now, O God, for your servants are listening. Nerves will not get the best of me because you already gave me the victory. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, I do pray. And the people of God said, amen. Scripture lesson I'll be preaching from this morning is Acts 5, 27 through 32. You can find these words. When they had bought them, they had them to stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Verse 32, "And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." If I had to pin a topic this morning, but simply ask the question, what's next? If I had to pin a subtopic, time ain't on our side. What's next? Time ain't on our side. Months ago, I took my nephew to Cincinnati for a couple of days to visit my dad and to allow him the chance to fly for his very first time. My nephew, if you ever met him, you will find out early that he's one cool, cool kid. Smart, funny, and just like many kids, he never forgets what you told him, especially if this relates to any type of promised activity or what he calls fun. He loves fun, and he loves fun so much he always wants to keep busy. In fact, on this trip to Ohio, I didn't tell him that the specific things that I had planned, but I told him we were going out to see his Papa John and that we would, in fact, have so much fun. I didn't tell him that this fun I was referring to was that one of the days that we would be in Cincinnati, we would visit the famous Cincinnati Zoo, which was going to be for his very first time ever going to a zoo. Now, the zoo was day two of this three-day trip. Stay with me, Sidwell. Day one, we visited my dad's job, and he gave us a tour over the luxurious University of Cincinnati, where he formerly works and currently works. And my dad showed us the campus, and afterwards, my dad took us to this huge, huge arcade. I won't tell y'all what happened there, because we would probably be there all day. But I'll just say this, after the arcade and after the walk around campus, I was good and tired. So we journeyed back to my dad's house and I proceeded to take a nap. During this five minute nap, here comes my nephew and he's saying, "Auntie Nicole, I thought you said we would have lots of fun." Revisiting now in my head our long morning, our extra long afternoon, I said, "You didn't have any fun today?" He said, "Yes, but what's next?" Y'all, no one prepared me. Now, thinking about an even longer day tomorrow because we'll be visiting the zoo, I said, "Well, I have a surprise for you tomorrow, and you know, we probably want our rest. We probably want our rest." And relentless, he replied, "Well, we have tonight for that. Today, what's next?" Here is a nice place to enter our text this morning. We have Jesus who has ascended, the Spirit has descended. And now the apostles being led by the Spirit is following in the life of Jesus and the instructions of Jesus. You know, proclaiming good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and liberating all those who are oppressed. Watch this. The high priest and the religious people were so jealous about this that they locked them in prison. This is a nice place to place a pin because, might I suggest, that it is always something that annoys people to see others doing what they seemingly should have the power to do themselves. In other words, you make people look bad when you are doing the very thing they have the ability to do but are not. This story reminds us that the religious folk can oftentimes be the ringleaders of this type of jealousy. Well, the apostles are in jail, and the angel of the Lord comes and releases them from prison and gives the apostles very detailed instructions. The angel of the Lord says, go into the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life. The life of the one who is the way and the life, or what I like to call the now and what's next. The apostles do what they are told, and to everyone's surprise, the high priest and the religious folks see that the apostles stand now on the outside of what they thought had them bound. That's the whole message right there. They call a council together to confront the apostles, but seeing that they are no longer in prison, someone gave word of their whereabouts, and they sent the temple police to bring them the apostles. Might I ask, who are our modern-day temple police of this day? Perhaps our very own denominations policing and regulating the very bodies coming in and out of our churches. Or maybe some of us who hide behind our denominations to police bodies and the speech of certain bodies in and out of our churches. But we're talking about the apostles this morning. The apostles who are now confronted, and the council is saying, we gave you detailed instructions, which are not to teach in Jesus' name, because you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. The apostles replied, not only do we have a higher authority to which we answer to, but this Jesus has been raised from the dead and now sits at the right hand of God. You know this Jesus that you had killed by hanging him on a tree. Friends, I have one question this morning. Whose name are you proclaiming? And who, what, and how are you proclaiming this Jesus was murdered? I'm concerned that when we have reduced the lynching of Jesus to only sin, we have missed quite a lot. When Easter is all about thanking Jesus for dying and now resurrecting for our sins, we have missed quite a lot. Because the blood of the brown skin wrong of the tracks, Jesus, overturned the temple's table by exploiting the poor. Interrupted funerals and turned them into family reunions, gave out free health care even for those who had pre-existing conditions for as long as 40 years. This Jesus loosed the shackles of a boy who had compounded trauma, and the church's answer was to confine him because they had no idea how to deal with mental health. This Jesus called those from the margins in because society and the church since the beginning of time has always confused uniformity with unity. This Jesus said that he was Lord because the empire, even if this empire is a white one, always needs to know that they are not. In the deaf, infatuated, and numbing society, Jesus was offering life everywhere he went. That's dangerous. In other words, this Jesus understood his now and therefore always knew what was next. Now can be understood with justly exegeting the world in which we are called to live. A world where we confuse charity of the poor with good news to the poor. A world that incarcerates black and brown bodies in massive ways, so massive that the price of a bound black or brown body brings in more residual income than a single financial institution. Time ain't on our side. A world where it's okay to tokenize queer bodies for your services while still voting for policies that are detrimental to our livability. A world where trans women of color can be brutally murdered at high rates of murder because the church and the society refuses to give them a decent job. Time ain't on our side. A world where we can talk about gun and drug violence in certain neighborhoods, neglecting to confront who put the guns and drugs in those neighborhoods. A world where we can put rainbow flags on the outside of our church steps, but never deal with the homophobic and queerphobic ideologies on the inside of us. Time ain't on our side. A world where we can have some of our most promising leaders graduate from institutions they will be in debt to for the rest of their lives. A world where gentrification can displace native poor and working class families under the disguise of new development projects. Time ain't on our side. A world where we can have a church planted on every corner with no intention to uproot our criminal justice, school systems, economic systems, and our constitution that makes all of it possible. A world where we don't check people who elected a homophobic, xenophobic, misogynistic, racist bigot under the religious or misguided disguise of what we have called our freedoms. If you're still wondering why time ain't on our side, beloved, it's a matter of life and death out here. We don't even have time for time. And if this is a snippet of our now, I've stopped by to help you with what's next. Jesus did not get up so we could sit down at tables, conferences, denominations, institutions to inquire about what's next. For if we justly know our now, we don't have to inquire about our next. And when we talk and do not do, we are no better than the religious leaders and the empires of the apostles' days, because the blood then is on us. And you may be asking, where is the hope in this? But I've come to tell you that my hope is built on Jesus' blood and justice. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other grounds is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other grounds is sinking sand. Christ, whose way was true to life. Christ, whose way was true to life, just as the apostles were instructed. Live in a way that tells the whole story about Jesus. In the spirit of my nephew, live in a way that what you are currently doing leaves no room for anyone to ask what's next. To the God who stepped or operates outside of time, stepped into time to show us how to make better use of our time, to take every moment seriously. May we follow in the life of this Jesus. Amen.